Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord, hallelujah. We praise God for being here on today. In Jesus' name, welcome to the summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on Blog Talk Radio, right here on the Spirit Alive Network on today. In Jesus' name, we praise God. We praise God for being here. And if you are listening to me right now, you are blessed because you are in the land of the living in Jesus' name. You're not blessed because you're hearing me, but you're blessed because you are in the land. If you are listening to me and if you are hearing me, you are in the land of the living. And we thank God. And when that is a reason to give God praise on today, amen. We praise God for what the Lord has done in our lives. We praise God for everything that he is doing. We count it all joy, despite how things are, what we're going through does not matter. God is still good. Amen. We praise God for being here on today. I want to start off. I want to start this thing off in prayer. I'm going to follow my big brother in the gospel, Bishop Carver. I'm going to pray before we do this lesson or this topic today, because this is a very, very powerful topic, and I'm not going to share today where the topic or where it roots from, because everything is not expedient. But I will say it is from the Lord. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
But I praise God for the topic on today. But I want to pray before we do this. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we come to you right now, Lord God, praising you, glorifying you, and honoring you on today. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. We magnify your name,
yes,
today.
Lord.
Lord God, we ask you that somebody's heart be touched by this topic,
yes,
on today. And that you get the glory and the honor out of their life on today. These blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
On today, we are talking about a topic that is very timely. And the reason why I'm being so low right now and not hyping up and everything, I am going to say this. I am in the middle of a process right now in my own personal life. And this is where this topic stems from. But it is the topic, the title of it, is no compromise. No compromise for a season of sin. For a season of sin, no compromise. No compromise for a season of sin. You might say, well, Minister Adam, what do you mean by no compromise for a season of sin?
Glory.
We have so many people. We have so many people that are living in this world today that are compromised for sin. They're living their life in sin. man, woman, boy, and girl. This is a very serious topic, and today I'm here to tell you this is all from the Lord. This topic is a big, giant warning to souls, whether you saved or unsaved. We must get ourselves ready. The Bible says, be also ready. And a lot of preachers take that verse and be like, oh, I got to be ready for ministry. I got to be ready to preach. I got to be ready to give a word. No, it's also talking about your soul. Be ye also ready. You can take that verse and compare it to our souls. But we have a lot of people in and out of the church that are compromising, for sin, that are compromising for the flesh, that are compromising for their own reasons. We have people out in the world that are compromising, that are playing Russian roulette with their lives. You might say, well, how are they playing Russian roulette? Every day that you get up and you remain in sin, you are playing Russian roulette with your life. Amen. Every day that you wake up and you do not have the Holy Ghost and you go through our life, you are playing Russian roulette with your life. We must not compromise. And I'm going to get to some scripture, but I'm going to flow with the Spirit right now. In this world, we have so many things against us. Whether you be saint or sinner, we have so many things that we are fighting against. But guess what? It all stems from sin. Everything that we have to fight against, I'll say it that way. Everything that we fight against, everything, addictions, in the spirit, things of the natural, mental health issues, all of that stuff that we are fighting, and I'm just throwing things out there as the Lord gives them to me. These things that we fight against, we cannot fight against it with the natural. We must fight against it with the spiritual because it is connected to the spiritual. When I hear people say, well, I got a mental health crisis. No, you ain't got a mental health crisis, baby. You have a spiritual crisis. But the world has deemed it as a mental health crisis. And then they try to find things in the world to bring under control. But it will not help you. That's where the compromise comes in. That's where for a season of sin, we continue in the sin that we're in until the day the Lord comes for our very souls. This topic today is not just for sinners. This topic is for the church too, because we see church people. We see the ain'ts. I ain't going to say saints because saints really live for the Lord. But the ain'ts, they'll say, well, it don't take all that. Oh, you can do a little dab here and a little dab there. You can do a little dab of sin here and a little dab of sin there. Preachers getting up and preaching that it's okay for us to live any kind of way, once saved, always saved. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. I am in a state where right now, in the state that I'm in right now, I hate the devil. I've always hated the devil, but I really hate the devil more now than I did back then. Why? Because more people, the Bible lets us know that hell enlarges itself daily. Everybody that dies is not going to heaven. And everybody that dies is not going to hell either. But it's either holiness or hell. It's holiness or hell. That's why I said there's no compromise. The Lord has told us not to compromise throughout all of the Word of God. From Genesis to Revelation, he has told us not to compromise, to be set apart from the world so that we might make it in to heaven. Because at the end of the day, all of this stuff down here on the earth doesn't mount to a hill of a bean when it compares to the things that God has for us in heaven. He let us know. He told us of some of the things that he has waiting for us in heaven. Money cannot buy what the Lord has in store for us in heaven. Money can't buy that. You can have, look, we got rich people on the earth, multimillionaires, trillionaires, billionaires, and they got mansions, big mansions. Bible lets us know that he goes to prepare a place for us, that where he is, we may be also. He said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. And those mansions that are in heaven are not to be compared to the mansions that are down here. The mansions that are built with man's hands down here aren't worthy to be compared. This body that we live in, this earthly suit that we wear, is not to be compared to the body that we will get when we get to heaven. It's not worthy enough to be compared. This is why we cannot compromise. This is why we cannot have a season of sin in our life. We cannot stay in the season of sin that we're in just for the happenings of this world. Because the more we sit in the seat of sin, the more we get detached or depart away from the Lord. The more sin, the further we get away from the Lord. The less sin, the closer we get to God. You might say, Minister Adam, you said the less sin I got, the closer I get. The Lord wants no sin. No sin. No sin can be in the kingdom. Do you not understand? Hear me today. The Lord has made it specific that those that are of his, we are royalty to him. God is royal. He is holy. He is the only God that we know that speaks of holiness. No other God. There's other gods, but they're little gods with no power. We have people serving different gods. We had people in the Bible, people in Moses' day serving different gods. So it's not nothing that caught us unaware that people, I hear people say, well, I serve this God and I serve that God. Them gods ain't compared to the God that we serve. He has all power given in his hand. He has all power. And let me tell you something. When I said earlier, it's either heaven or hell, it's holiness or hell, that's true. But let me tell you something. Those that go to hell, the Lord does not send nobody to hell. Because I used to, when I first got saved, I used to think, well, God sends people to hell. No,
The Lord had to let me know, I don't send nobody to hell. And then you might say, well, if the Lord don't send nobody to hell, I can live any kind of way. No, that's not true. So don't even think that in your mind. Well, the preacher said that I'm covered by grace. The devil is a liar. The Bible lets us know. Must we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Those of us, because there's sins of commission and there's sins of omission. Sins that we don't know that we're doing, and there's sins that we know that we're doing. That's why the Bible says repent. That's why Daniel prayed 3 times a day. We got to get all of that out of us. For a season of sin, what do you want out of this world? Why would you continue to stay in a season of your sins to try to gain something in this world? The Bible lets us know, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? What do we need? What do we need down here that we continue in sin? Well, I'm not going to be able to live it up. You can live it up in holiness. You got the best life in holiness. You know how, I'm going to give you this example. If you live in sin, if a person lives in sin, do you know that they're looking over their shoulder? Spiritually, they're looking over their shoulder. And I'm going to give you an example. My father, one time, and he don't mind me saying this, because he says this as a testimony. My father, when he got saved, he came in through the witness of my grandmother. And yes, this is why the Bible says repent daily. Because there are saints that have fallen away and come back to him. Okay? That's why we need to get it right. We need to make sure that we have it right before we leave this earth. My father said this as a testimony. When he came, he fell off, and then he came back to God. And when he came back to stay. But when he was outside, he was so miserable. He talks about the misery that he was in. Because the Bible, and the reason why there is misery outside of God, especially if you tasted of God and you want things of the world. Well, I don't want this no more. I'm just going to go join the world and I'm going to do my own thing. You know why my dad was telling his testimony about how he would say, Lord, don't come right now. Please don't come yet. Please don't come yet. And the Lord was dealing with him on coming back to him. And eventually he got it right. And he got back with God, and he's been in God ever since. Amen. But there's torment when you are outside of the will of God, especially if you tasted of him and you've been living a great life in God, and then all of a sudden you fall away. You fall by the wayside. The Bible says, the reason why there's torment is because the Bible says the way of a transgressor is hard. It's harder when you have been a saint of God and you fell off. And you still, you just out there, and you out there, and you out there. You ain't got no peace. You ain't got no hope. You ain't got no... And when I say you ain't got no hope, I don't mean you don't have hope. But sometimes, if you stay out there long enough, if you stay out, if a person that is in God gets out of the will of God and then becomes a backslider, there is no, look, especially nowadays, there is no telling if you can make it back. So if you are in Christ, stay in Christ. If you are in Christ, I'm going to repeat it again. If you are in Christ today, stay in Christ. Amen. I'm moving of the unction of the Holy Ghost because I'm going to try to break this down, the origin of where sin came from. And I want to show you this. I have four different scriptures that I want to share with you because I want you to see this. First off, I want to go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. Because I want to set the stage here. I want the Lord to set the stage for what the Lord is trying to say. You might say, well, why can't I compromise? Why can't I have the pleasure of the world and still be in God? Well, I'm going to show you. In 1 John chapter 2, starting at verse number 15, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, this is what's in the world. This is what is in sin. Okay? All right? This is what is in sin. I'm going to show you. For verse number 16, it says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not, I'll repeat, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now watch this. This is why we need to be separate from the world. This is why the Bible says, love not the world. Watch this, verse 17. It says, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. This shows us. Now, in these verses, the establishment of sin came from Adam. But the connection between man and sin is the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That's where sin comes through. That's why you got to watch what you hear. Amen. The lust of the eye, you got to watch what you see. Amen. The lust of the flesh, you got to watch what you got to watch what we got gates on our bodies. Our eye gate, our ear gate, our mouth gate, because the Bible says in Proverbs, the power of death and life lie in the power of the tongue. We can kill a person with our mouth. We can bring life on a person just by the words that we speak. We got to watch what we say. That's why the Bible lets us know to be holy in everything that we do. Amen. That's why we have to be holy. Amen. This is the reason why we cannot partake in sin. Amen. Now, let's go to, because I said I had four scriptures. Let's go to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians. Amen. The book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians 5 verses, starting at verse number 6. Amen. This is letting us know. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 5, starting at verse number 6. And it reads, "Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God unto the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them." Now I'm going to stop right there. Amen. These two verses are letting us know. There's a couple things that these two verses are letting us know. Just in these two verses. Let no man deceive you with vain words. Now, and I'm talking about the world. I'm talking about sinners and ain'ts. Because I ain't going to say saints, because saints won't tell you anything wrong. Or they shouldn't. That's why I call them ain'ts. The ain'ts are going to tell you that, hey, it's okay for you to live any kind of way. Ain'ts are going to tell you, hey, once saved, always saved. Ain'ts are going to tell you you can dabble in this and dabble in that and still be saved. Not so. That's why the Bible is letting us know in this verse, in verse number 6, let no man deceive you with vain words. Don't let the preacher deceive you. Don't let family deceive you. Don't let the sinner man deceive you. It ain't in Psalms 1, it said, it lets us know that we should not be in the council with sinners. Matter of fact, let's go there. I'll read it to you. Amen. Let's go to Psalms 1 real quick. I want to say it like it's read. Amen. And I'm following the Spirit of the Lord today. I'm being led of the Lord today because this was not in my notes. Amen. Psalms 1, verse 1. It says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." What does that mean? This lets us know, this verse right here in Psalms 1, verse 1, it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly," which means you ain't supposed to be seeking ungodly counsel in anything. Oh, well, you shouldn't go to that church. They too saved over there. That's ungodly counsel. Is that saying that you're better than the sinner man? No, because such was some of us. But you got to be wise about this thing. You talking about, talking to somebody about being saved. Say you're a sinner. And you want to be saved. Don't you know that your friends will tell you, your unsaved friends will tell you, "Oh, no, you don't need that. Oh, no." Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. What is standeth in the way of sinners? You sinning in front of sinners. See, and that line right there is for the church. You sin it in front of sinners. We gotta do something to draw them. No, you don't. No, you don't. You better give them what they gave us back in the day. Give them an altar. Let them come to the altar and let them be filled with power from on high until the Holy Ghost fell. Give them the day of Pentecost. That's what you do. You do not have to compromise with the world to draw somebody. I ain't got to go party with you. I ain't got to go drink it up with you to draw. No. No, because I'm actually leading you astray. I'm actually doing the ungodly thing when I do that. I had a friend tell me, and I tell this testimony a lot, but I love telling it. I had a friend tell me I was too saved. I had one of my longtime friends tell me I was too saved. Adam, you too saved. Okay, thank you. I got upset at first, but my mother and my father had to tell me, there's something in you that person ain't got. And either they want it or they're convicted by it. Either they want it and can't find it in what they're doing, or they're convicted by what you got, in which you need is continue to live holy and shake the dust from up underneath your feet. If they don't want to hang out with you no more, shake the dust from up underneath your feet and go on. This is what we need to do. We have to preach. In living it, we have to talk about it. In talking about it, we have to testify about it. So that people may see the glory of God on our life. Not our glory, because not our righteousness, but God's righteousness. That it might draw men. It said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that we should be witnesses. That's how we be witnesses. That's how. Amen. Now, I want to take you to Romans chapter 5. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Because I didn't even finish all of Ephesians, but the Lord told me to move on. So I'm doing what the Lord told me to do. Amen. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse. This is where the origin of sin came from. All right? This is why we love not the world. This is where the origin of sin came from. I'm going to show you. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. Amen. And then we're also going to look at verse 15. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 says, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered unto the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Amen. Now let's look at verse number 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if there be For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man,
Jesus Christ had abound unto many. Amen. What these two verses are letting us know, it shows us the origin of where sin came from. It was by one man, Adam. We go back to Genesis. We go back to Genesis, where God told man not to eat of the tree of good and evil. And when man ate of that tree, then brought sin and natural death and spiritual death. Because before that happened, there was no sin, there was no death at all, period. But because origin of where sin came through, sin came through man's disobedience unto God. That's where sin come from. This is why sin cannot enter into the kingdom, because it is disobedience. Sin brought in, disobedience brought in sin, which brought in death. And there's two types of death. There's a natural death and there's a spiritual death. We'll get to that in a minute. We'll get to that a little bit later. Amen. But in verse 15, it lets us know that there's a free gift given. There's a free gift that has been given, because Jesus Christ knew that sin was going to overtake us. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. We were meant for death. We were meant for death. We were meant to die, naturally and spiritually. That's why the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Have you ever noticed that some people die before their time? Sin, look, we got all these different diseases. And that's, sin brought that in there. Sin brought that onto the world. I wasn't going to go there, but sin brought that into the world. Diseases. Everything was lowered and cursed. Did you not know that a snake used to have legs? A snake used to have legs. But because of sin, and because the serpent helped bring in sin, it was cursed to its belly. You can read it in the Bible. That serpent, which is a snake, was cursed to its belly. It brought a curse on the world. Sin brought a curse onto the world. That is why it is so hard to live in sin. In sin, you won't be able to please everything about sin. But in God, you are able to please God with the righteousness and holiness of God. Amen. You can't please God without the Holy Ghost, or you won't be able to please him fully. You won't be able to do the will of God without the Holy Ghost. But so many people are playing Russian roulette with their salvation. They want to be in holiness, but they don't want to be in holiness. And that's for saints and sinners. The sinner man wants to be saved, but they don't want to give up the things of the world. They want one more night with the frogs. They want to
be able to live a free and prosperous life, but they not do, but they don't want to do the things to get to the freedom. And I know we hear about it, the civil rights movement and everything. That's not the freedom we're talking about. The Bible says, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. See, when God came in the flesh, in the book of John, he said that when the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, see, the Jews were looking for the Messiah to come to save them in the natural. But he did not come just to save them in the natural. He came for the spiritual side, the eternal, the eternity of life. He came for eternal life. He didn't just come for the natural. See, the Jews were thinking about the natural, only the natural. That's the same way we think today. People want the natural side of life. They want their natural side of life to be be good. Everything's all right with the natural. Everything's good. I got money in the bank. I got this over here, that over there. But let me tell you something. Nothing compares to your soul. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Mark chapter 8, verses 36 and 37. In there. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world? And what will a man give in exchange for his soul? There is nothing worth your soul. We hear it all the time, that people will sell themselves out. People will sell their souls for this and sell their souls for that. It ain't the time. It is not the time. No compromise. Amen. The spirit wars against the flesh. Our spirit wars against the flesh. Even the sinner man, you want to do right, but you don't have the power to do it right. That is your spirit warring against the flesh. But you have to take on the spirit of Christ to be able to war against the flesh. That you have to take on the spirit of Christ. When we come into this world, we are a three-part creature: body, soul, and spirit. Amen. If we do not compromise with our soul, we got a lot to gain, and we also got a lot to lose. If we compromise, we got a lot to lose. Amen. The spirit wars against the flesh. Let's go to Galatians. Just to show you, I'm going to show you this in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Let us know about this warring, about the spirit warring against the flesh. Because I told you earlier that this topic comes from, because I'm tired. I am so tired of the devil. I'm so tired of the devil. I'm so tired of the devil. Thinking he can run rush hour all over everybody and everything. Some of us are just letting the devil run over us. Some of us don't even try to even fight, to even try to fight back. Amen. Some of us don't even try to fight back, and it's sad. Some of us will sit, and I'm not just talking about sinners either. I'm talking about saints. Some of us will sit there and let the devil run, rush out all over us, let him bring whatever he got, and we'll just sit there. And we got the power to rebuke him. We got the power to rebuke the flesh. We let the flesh run all over us. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse 16. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse 16. And it reads, "This I say thee, walk in the Spirit. Ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contradicted the one to the other." Amen. "So that ye cannot do the things that ye would." These are contrary the one to the other. What is contrary? Separate. The flesh and the spirit are contrary to each other. It's like light and darkness. Your flesh gonna do whatever the world wants it to do, whatever Satan wants it to do, but your spirit is gonna do the things of God. Amen. And the only way that we can fight against the things of the flesh and the world itself, the sinful natures of the world, is that we must fight against sin with the weapons of the Spirit. And I'm going to give you these scriptures, and you can go read them at your leisure. Amen. But we're going to read one of them right now. We're going to read one or two of them right now. Amen. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. This is how we war. This is how we war against the flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. Amen. I'm gonna set this up, because this is what the Lord has told us. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. Amen. This is what the weapons of the Spirit do. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal," which means they're not naturally made. They're not in the natural, but they're of the spiritual. How do we know that they're of the spiritual? This next line in this verse. "But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself, the knowledge of God, bringing unto captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." It all stems from obedience. That's why on last week we talked about having a discipline. I think it was either last week or a couple weeks ago. To live holy, it takes a mental discipline. To be without sin, it takes a mental discipline, a spiritual mental discipline. Amen. But the people might say, "Well, we sin daily." Yeah, because there's sins of commission, omission, the sins that we don't know that we do, and there's sins that we know that we do. Now, the sins that we know that we do, we don't need to be partaking in that anyway. But the sins we don't, that's where repentance comes in. That's why the Bible says repent daily. We should be repenting. Even if we, let me see. Job repented. Job repented. And he didn't even do nothing. Job was an upright man. He was a godly man. But he still repented. Amen. Daniel was a godly man. But he still repented. David was the apple of God's eye. But David repented. Amen. He repented. Through the book of Psalms, I know the book of Psalms is a book of praise, but David repented in the book of Psalms. That's why we repent. The sins that we know we did, the sins that we don't know that we did. Now, the sins that we know we did, we need to use the Holy Ghost to be able to fight off that stuff so we ain't got to go back to the altar every single Sunday, every single Wednesday, or every single time we have church. We got to go back to the altar and repent for the same thing again. We have to be cleaned out. The Bible lets us know that God is coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle, or blemish, or any such thing. It takes me back to the 10 version, the 5 foolish and the 5 wise. The 5 foolish, the 5 foolish let their lamps go out and they took no oil with them. But the 5 wise had their lamps trimmed and burning bright. And what that parable was showing us is that we have to be like the 5 wise version. That every day that we wake up, that we are in good standings with the Lord Jesus Christ. That every minute, every hour, every second, we are in good standings with God. We get up, we repent. Even if you know you've not done anything wrong, I'm repenting, Lord, because I might have done something that I have no knowledge of. That's where sins of commission, omission come in at. We need to get it together because we are living in the last days. We are living in the last days. Amen. Now, let's go back to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. And man, I love y'all. That's why, this is why the Lord, I, when I was younger, I was told that my grandmother prophesied over my life. And and I wish she was still living, because I'd ask her, why did you do this to me? but she prophesied that I was going to be a minister. That boy's going to minister the word of God. He came back. He came back. And here I am. And I love doing this. Not for glory of me, because I can't do nothing without it. But this brings me life. This gives me life. I'm saying this as encouragement unto others. Every time I get into the Word of God, it brings me life. Every time I study the Word of God, every time I'm on my knees praying, every time I'm talking to the Lord, riding down in my car, or every time every little inkling I can get with Jesus, every second I can get with Jesus brings me life.
Every time I witness him to somebody, it brings me life. Every time I praise him, it brings me life. And that's the same thing that he can do with us. The same thing he can do with you, young man. That's the same thing he can do with you, young lady. Amen. But in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17, we got to fight. We have to fight. I said a couple seconds ago that my grandmother prophesied for me, or she spoke into existence for me to be a minister. Me as a young person, I wanted to be a wrestler. I wanted to be a pro wrestler. And it might sound funny, but I still watch it on occasion. I don't watch it as much as I used to. But I wanted to be a wrestler. And my plan was for me to go into professional wrestling, and I was going to do this and do that. And the Lord said, no, you're not going to do that. But you are going to be a wrestler, though. But you're going to wrestle for me. Every time I'm down on my knees praying, I'm putting a devil in a headlock. Time I rebuke a demon. Every time I tell the devil no, you ain't gonna take me there. Every time I have somebody come up against me and I hold my peace and let the Lord fight my battle, I'm putting the devil in I'm spiritually clotheslining the devil. So I'm a wrestler, but I'm just wrestling in the spirit. Watch this. In Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse number 10, watch this. This is why you can be a wrestler too. You may not like me. You might be a person that's, I don't like wrestling. I don't like pro wrestling, but you can be a wrestler for Jesus. Watch this. Ephesians chapter number 6, starting at verse number 10, it reads, following my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse number 12, this is why I said you can be a wrestler. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's why the Lord told me you can't be a professional wrestler. Because I can't wrestle against that. That's not my fight. I can't even wrestle against people that hate me, holding unforgiveness in my heart. Don't you know you wrestling against somebody that comes against you, and you hold unforgiveness in your heart, or you hold dissimulation in your heart, that individual? You call yourself hating that individual? That's you wrestling against them. And you're not supposed to be. It says it right there. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, which means you're not supposed to be wrestling against humans and they stuff. They mess. You let God deal with that. Yolanda Adams wrote a song back in the day. The battle is not yours. It's the Lord's. It doesn't belong to you. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Amen. But for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world. That's why we got to be separate from the world. That's why we can't compromise. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. We're living in the evil day now.
having done all to stand, verse number 14, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked.
Amen. 17, verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's why we need the word. My pastor says it all the time. He said, Pastor Tuggle, he says it all the time. He says, a song is good. A song is good. Songs are great. Gospel music is great. Christian music is great. But a song cannot save you. Yes, a song is encouraging, but the way the music is, never mind, let me hush up about that one. I ain't gonna go there. But a song will not save you. But the word, see, the devil will party with you if you singing a song, if you singing a gospel song and you ain't living right, he'll party with you. I done heard people say they don't play Kirk Franklin in the club. When song Revolution came out, Do You Want a Revolution? They was playing that in the clubs. When they was playing Stomp back in the day, they was playing that in the clubs. All because of the beat. But let me tell you something. It's the word of God. It's the pleading of the blood of Jesus that's going to bind the hand of Satan. That's going to bind the enemy's kingdom. It's the prayers of the righteous that is going to bind the enemy. It's not going to be a song. Now, a song is encouraging, but you can't go around singing a song. Now, if it's an old blood song, then I see that. You saying it, and you saying, oh, the blood of Jesus. Now, those old blood songs are different. But Minister Adam, I thought you said songs can't stay. You singing the blood. You on your job, and somebody bothering you, and you instead of you saying it, you singing it, that's using wisdom. And guess what? The enemy will get scared of that. Something like that. He will back up from that. That's using wisdom. Because a saint of God is not supposed to be unruly anyway. Oh, the blood of Jesus. And you walking that, you in your job and you getting messed with, or somebody bothering you, or something bothering you, and you're not able to pray out loud. Don't you know you can sing in prayer? Oh, the blood of Jesus. You can plead the blood by a song. Now that's using wisdom. That's something totally different. We teaching you, not only are we showing you, but we're going to teach you how to fight off the enemy, to not compromise for a season of sin. We can't do it. Amen. Don't partake in sin to exchange your place in the kingdom of God. Let no man keep you out of heaven.
We have we got different scriptures, and I'm not going to read them, but I'm going to say them to you, and you can read them in your leisure because we're running out of time. In the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter number 5, verses 6 through 11, we read that, amen, in verse 14. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. In Jude, well, there's only one chapter in Jude. So Jude, verses 3 through 4. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through, amen. These scriptures will show you why we should not be partakers in sin in exchange for our place in the kingdom of God, which is heaven. Amen. We have a lot to gain and a lot to lose. Now, these are the scriptures that I wanted to go into. We have a lot to gain and a lot to lose. The one thing about the Lord, he's going to show us everything. He shows us everything. In Revelation chapter 22. In Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22, verse number 12. Let's go there. Revelation chapter 22, verse number 12. Real quick. This is the rewards that God is bringing with him. Amen. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. This is why I say, this is why God had to deal with me on God not sending people to hell. God does not send anybody to hell. You send yourself. A person can send themselves to hell by the life that they live. If their life is not godly, if their life is not pleasing unto God, and they die, then and only then, I mean, if they haven't repented of their sins, if they're living an ungodly life up until the day that they die and they haven't repented or whatever, they haven't been born again of the water and the Spirit, then by what the Bible says, that's the second death, hell. Hell is the second death. I'm just stating facts here. It's in the Word. Let's go to Revelation chapter 20, just to give a clarification. Then I'm going to show you the good side of his reward. This is for the sinner man and the ones that want to fall away, the ones that did not live right, they called themselves Christians, the ones that had a form of godliness but denied the power thereof. Revelation chapter 20, because I'm running out of time. Amen. Revelation chapter 20, verse number 12. Now, this is the white throne of judgment. This is the white throne of judgment. But I want you to see this. Revelation chapter 12. It reads, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." Amen. And there are people that have died that are in hell. There are people that have died that are in heaven too. But watch this. Verse 13 says,
And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Watch this. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Amen. This is the reward of them. This was the reward of those that had a form of godliness but denied the power thereof. This is the reward for them that lived their life in sin. This is the reward of them that remained on the earth after the rapture took place. After the rapture. And they did not receive God. They did not die for their own sins, but they took the mark of the beast. This is what that's for. The white throne of judgment. Amen. This is for that sinner man that did not accept the Lord. That's for that ungodly person that just lived their life the way they wanted to. But let me show y'all this real quick. Amen. Revelations. I'm just gonna tell y'all about this one. Revelations chapter 21. Verse 7 and 8 lets us know who will be in hell, who will be a part of that second death, which is the lake of fire. Amen. Now, I want to get to these last two verses before we depart, because I want you to see the good side of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not going to leave you on a bad, I'm not going to leave on bad terms. Amen. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. Let's go to St. John first. St. John chapter 14 verses 1 and 3. And it reads, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way ye know." Amen. These three verses 1, 2, and 3, is letting us know that God is coming back for us. God is coming back for a church. Now, let's go over to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians, real quick before we wrap up here. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. All of you Bible scholars probably know where I'm going with this. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verses 16 and 17. And it reads, starting at verse number 16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." As it's stated in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, he's coming again. That's why I said we got a lot to lose. And we got a lot to gain, and we got a lot to lose.
If we do not make our calling and election sure, we will lose out on this privilege, on this right here. Amen. We must be separate from the world. No compromise. Why? Because it lets us know in certain scriptures, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, it lets us know. And I'm just saying off the scriptures. You can go read them at your leisure because we're about out of time. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, this is why we should be separate from the world. John chapter 17, verses 14 and 16. Acts chapter 2, verse 40. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. You really need to go and read those scriptures at your leisure. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. St. John chapter 17, verses 14 and 16. Acts chapter 2, verse 40. And 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. I apologize for that. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. These five verses will let us know. The verses that I just named off, these scriptures that I named off, these scriptures and these verses will let you know why we should be separate from the world. Why we should not compromise. Because we got a lot to lose and we got a lot to gain. That's why no compromise for a season of sin. I pray that you got something out of this. For my Spirit Alive family, I thank God for each and every one of you. In these last, 11 minutes, if there's anybody that's on here that from the Spirit Alive family, if you would like to leave a quick comment, you can. At this time, if there's anybody on, amen. 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 I praise the Lord for today. I praise God for being here. I praise the Lord for his word. Because his word is not only here to, you know, make us jump and shout. But it's also here to correct, to reprove, to give us direction, to give us counsel, to give us guidance, and all of that. Amen. But I praise God that out of all of this, the only way to come out of sin is you got to be born again. You got to be born again of the water and the spirit. In St. John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, Nicodemus asked the question. Jesus told Nicodemus, and Nicodemus asked the question after Jesus told him. Nicodemus's reply was, "Can I enter into my mother's womb a second time?" The reason of that reply was because Jesus told Nicodemus. He said, you must be born again. You cannot see the kingdom of God unless you are born again. And Nicodemus asked the question unto Jesus, must I enter into my mother's womb a second time? And Jesus replied and said, you must be born again of the water and the spirit. That's what we need. Acts 2 and 38 says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is the only way for us to see the kingdom. This is the only way for us to live holy and righteously. Because in Acts 1 and 8 it says, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall have power. Power to do what? Power to live right. Power to talk right. Power to tell sin, no, I'm not. We not going down that road today. We're not going down that road ever again. The power to tell the devil no. Power to tell your flesh no. This is the only way to see the Lord's face in peace. He made it plain. You can't see the kingdom. And you might say, well, Minister Adam, I've been baptized. I've been baptized in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something. That is not baptism. Now, I'm going to tell you the truth. That was the Great Commission. He was commissioning his disciples to teach, to preach, and to baptize in the name of Jesus, in his name. Because he is the Father, he is the Son, and he is the Holy Ghost. He's all three in one. Anytime God referred himself, he always referred himself as one. In the book of Ephesians, it says there is only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Amen. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. Amen. There is no salvation in any other except the name of Jesus. So today, in these last few minutes that I have, I give you Jesus today. If you're in the Indianapolis area, you can be baptized in Jesus' name. If you're in the Indianapolis area, come on over to Victory Tabernacle, 761 North Sheffield, and I guarantee you they'll baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Amen. Or you can find you a good church that baptizes in Jesus' name. Speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. That believes in the oneness in Jesus' name. And that lives holy. Not only believes it, but lives it. That lives holy, because the Bible in Hebrews does say, holiness without which, in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, it says, holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. We got to be holy in Jesus' name. God bless you. I love you. I have something that I have to do, family with family. On next Saturday, so I will not be here next Saturday, but the following Saturday, I will be back on the air. I'm just letting y'all know now. I have family that I have to, business that I have to attend to, so I will not be here next Saturday, but as my grandmother used to say, if you don't see me again, I will see you in the rapture of the church. Until not next week, but the following week, be blessed, be encouraged, and be in the will of God. No compromise. No compromise. A season of sin. Be holy and be righteous in Jesus' name. Live for the Lord. In Jesus' name. God bless you. In Jesus' name.